back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively getting into the holiday where I gain weight, and I don't mean the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery, Let Yourself Play. I did gain some weight in August. Thanksgiving kind of comes and it goes, and I don't gain too much weight. I did have my friends from Wise Markets on. We're talking about getting these turkeys and getting it all together before next week, but we will be presenting the Maryland Lottery and our Letting Ourselves Play and the Crab Cake Tour on Black Friday. We'll be joined by Harford County Executive Barry Glassman, who is running for controller. We'll be joined by him around 2 o'clock on Black Friday at Conrad's Crabs in Abingdon. We're letting ourselves play there. And then we're going to be at Pappas in Cockeysville, Leonard Raskin's favorite place. I told him eventually we'd get up to Pappas. I love the folks up there. Always great conversations. We'll be up in Cockeysville on the 3rd of December. And then we kick off the 30th anniversary tour in Catonsville on the 9th at the Beaumont. I'm hoping that Bill Cole will be joining us there. Bill Cole joining us right now from Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. And, you know, I'm wearing my Rofo shirt, and I got my Rofo coffee going here. You and I sort of famously get together at the Buck Crack of Dawn to do these conversations. Last week we did schools and Colgate and all of this stuff. This week, as I awaken, and folks can listen in, we have the mayor on. So I figured, you know, cheers, good morning to you, whatever you're doing at Cole Roofing and whatever I'm doing here at Baltimore Positive. You know, we have Mayor Scott's here today, and he's busier than we are today, I think. I think, anyway.
Well, we hope so. Always fun to join you. I'm glad you said it was the morning, even though, you know, no one ever knows really when we record.
Well, that's why I have the sunrise over my shoulder now. To signify.
If you look at, like, the bags under my eyes, right, it's like the...
Turn the lights on in there so I can see you, man. You know, it's like... I think it's been kind of an interesting week to get with the mayor, and we will talk to him, and this is on the front end if you're listening on the back end, about the issues. And, I mean, look, there's always something in the news, right, about what's happening, but... there's so many good things about the city, and I go around the city and I could sit for hours and talk about how much fun I've even had during the plague, discovering the city and discovering new foods and crab cakes and places I go. But it always comes back to crime, right? I mean, that, you know, Mueller always says that. We had Theroux on last week. We had Ben Jealous on. We sat in Lexington Market talking about what's going to become of the market and the future and Fadley's and all of that. But for the city, crime sits any crime, whether it's, and they're all horrible, whether it's the pastor in East Baltimore, whether it was the church and this beautiful woman who, you know, gave her life to the church and murdered, you know, on a Tuesday morning. I mean, not a great week here. And it's unfortunate that really does move to the top of the charts. And it's also unfortunate that it's happening.
I mean, I guess my question would be, so even though it's very early in his mayoral adventure, you still automatically, once you become mayor, have to think about your legacy. So, like, you were mayor, like, whether you're mayor for a short period of time or a long period of time, whatever, you were mayor.
By the way, did you see what Stephanie Rawlings Blake's up to? Did you catch her?
I did.
Yeah, I was just making sure. Because you triggered me on that. You're like, yeah, what comes next? What are you preparing for, really, when you're the mayor, I guess? You know?
Well, and I'm not even, I wasn't even going down the, how long are you here for and where are you headed next? I'm not even getting there yet. What I'm saying is, how do we perceive him as a mayor? Like, when you talk, now we have the luxury of history and looking backwards, but like Don Schaefer, I think the people's perception of him was like, he was a mover and a shaker and he was going to get stuff done, you know? And whatever that meant, right? At the time, it probably meant...
And what he wanted to get done was over my shoulder. He wanted to turn the basin of the Inner Harbor from a fish market and an industrial, polluted a waterway from the 1800s into a place where science, aquarium, to turn it into Disney World. There's no other thing I could call it. I mean, and I've done long, long pieces on that, right? But that's his legacy. His legacy is the waterway. And if you remember those political elections, and I'm a little older than you, and I remember Billy Murphy losing, and you know, the campaign was the Outer Harbor, not the Inner Harbor. That was the campaign. And I guess 50 years later, we're still, now the Inner Harbor is a problem, but we're still talking about the Outer Harbor, right?
So what do you think Mayor Scott would say is his goal for his legacy?
Well, cutting crime would have to be like, and that's Martin O'Malley. Martin O'Malley's legacy. Try saying that five. Seashell, seashells. Yeah. Now, buddy. His legacy is The Wire and arresting a lot of people of color, and also cutting crime statistically, because it was very statistically led. And I've talked to Matt Gallagher and I've talked to Martin about this. That led him to the gubernatorial. Two terms, like all of that, that, you know, he had influence, and he's proudest of the Bay. He's proudest that the fact that the crabs are fat for Acostas this weekend, still coming out of the Bay for another week or so. And he's proudest of that, because I've sat and asked him about it in legacy wise. But the amount of people they incarcerated in Baltimore, I don't know. When that comes up, it's we did the best we could at the time in Broken Window and like whatever. And what was cool 40 years ago isn't cool now in lots and lots of ways, right? But I would say for Brandon Scott, and I'll ask him, you know, like having people, having pastors be pistol whipped in the street and having women murdered in churches before breakfast on a Tuesday morning in this city, that's got to stop. And like, and you know, like, I don't know what, how that stops, but that has to stop.
Well, I don't know that. So, okay. Just cause something is the biggest problem doesn't necessarily mean that his goal is to fix the biggest problem. Like, and sometimes the biggest problem isn't fixed by attacking the biggest problem. It can be by, you know, fix poverty and all of a sudden crime.
Sure. Fix the schools. Right.
Yeah,
sure.
Fix schools and crime.
Fix right. The family so, unit. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
So I would be curious to him, cause I don't think I've ever really heard it in a succinct kind of way from him as to like, and it's still early. So he kind of still gets to write the chapter however he wants, at least, or write it in how he would like it to be written. How's that? So what is it that he wants to accomplish? What does he want to be remembered by? And I guess part of me is interested because we got to learn about Philadelphia a couple weeks ago. And the biggest takeaway, and I don't know the time span. I don't know if it's like the past 20 years or I'm not exactly sure how long I'm talking, but the government in Philadelphia appears to be in the background facilitating all the other activity. So
business, you mean? You want to open a store? Let's get you cleaned up. Make sure the building's secure. Let's make sure we don't have rats in the cellar. Let's get you into business. You have to pay your taxes, but let's get you into business. Let's keep the streets clean in front of your place. Let's get the cops on the beat to make sure that your employees are safe. Like all of those sort of things that make a city run that we don't talk about them until they don't work anymore, right?
Yeah, it didn't feel like, I think in Baltimore, it feels like development runs through City Hall. Like you've got to go to City Hall and you've got to engage with the political bureaucracy of our city to get things done. Probably because everybody's looking for some kind of handout, right? So, hey, give me some tax breaks on this, or give me some free building here, or blah, 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 you know, that kind of stuff. And it just, in Philly, and maybe it's a product of being a much bigger, more populous town.
With all the same problems, by the way.
Yeah, it just seemed very much like private development and people chose to do things, the government helped facilitate that, you know, keeping in mind not to gentrify or not to totally disrupt the apple cart, or being mindful of the public transportation system that needs to service everything. And they were like, it sounded like they were very partner-esque as opposed to one of the gates you have to get through, right? In our town, it feels like this is a gate. So
if you look at the towns that have been growing, whether it's Nashville, I mean, Phoenix has a lot of challenges, a probably different kind of place. But one of the things I know Don's going to bring up, because I've seen his notes being a politician himself, I'm not really into such things, but you know, part of the notes are is the census and is the fact that Baltimore's shrinking. And when it shrinks and infrastructure happens and you go meet with Joe Biden, and Brandon Scott's been with Joe Biden twice in the last 10 days, literally, right? So Joe Biden knows who he is, at least, right? From the haircut and the mask, and you're the mayor of Baltimore, and yeah, nice young man, nice to meet you, you know, whatever. That at least knows Baltimore has challenges and it's up the road. And if you can fix Baltimore, you got something to brag about, right? Sure. I mean, by fixing Detroit, fixing Cleveland, these places I've been, Charlotte's a beautiful place. I mean, it never really was much. Sure. And these towns that pop up out of nowhere, like Nashville and Austin, Texas, and, you know, those kinds of places that become desirable over a period of time. Back in the 90s, this was a very desirable place, bro, right? I mean, I you know, that doesn't sound, but people like wanted to live here, moved here from other places. I know tons of people. I mean, I could rattle off names of my friends like Jerry Gutierrez at Taco Fiesta over in Harbor East, who's from San Diego and made a life here because he loved Baltimore in the 90s because it felt like San Diego, kind of sort of, with winter, you know? Like,
I think that people still want to move here. I just don't think it's your people, right? So the statistics continue to say, and I'm sure, well, someone maybe will tell us I'm full of it, but, you know, there is a significant exodus of certain demographics, and there's an influx of another demographic. So, you know, young professionals working in D.C. still are choosing to live in Baltimore, right? We're still building these.
Well, you don't have to work in D.C. when you work in D.C. anymore, you know?
Right.
Like, my wife literally at her, you know, my wife works for a, you know, major multinational company. She's worked there 30 years. Her base moved from downtown to Hunt Valley to quote unquote, air quote, Bel Air, or like that area that she would like report to work once every month or two. And then COVID hit and now everything's virtual. And now she goes to Silver Spring. So she's really a DC employee now, right? Like literally in the old days, she would say, well, let's move to Columbia because I don't want to commute, you know, all the way down there or whatever. You know, now it's like, oh, I like Baltimore because 95's here and the airport's there and the water's here and I like to row or I like to do things that Baltimore would allow you to do. That D.C. is, oh, it's $4,200 a month in D.C. and it's $2,600 a month in Federal Hill. And that's $1,600 a month. That's $15,000 a year. Oh, my God, that I could go to Tahiti with that. You know, like, so there's all of that weighing how cost of living is still what we have going for us. As a guy that couldn't give his condo away for five nickels, literally, like, cost of living is still a value here.
I think so. I mean, we've always talked about having really good bones. So we have the airport and we have the Amtrak and we have all the transportation and we have the water and we have all these.
And these beautiful row houses that have all been remodeled now by somebody, right?
We have these innately just automatic to Baltimore things. And then I think what has evolved, and this would be a topic to dispute or challenge or decide if you want to change. But, you know, we have an edgy brand, right? Like if you live in Baltimore, people are like, you live there? Oh, my God. Like The Wire? Like, wow. Is it safe? Like, and
see, I think those things when I got on a plane to go to New Orleans or like some seedier Oakland was always kind of seedy. You know, I'm literally like, I'm, you know, San Francisco seedy, but I love it. My wife was always like, we'd be seeing zombies walking around drugged out of their minds. And my wife's like, and why do you like this place? That man's eating out of the trash can. And I'm like, I don't know. I wouldn't want that. The stuff I've seen in San Francisco in 5 minutes, I've never seen in Baltimore. I've lived here my whole life. Like the worst of the worst part, like Vancouver. I mean, I've been to some places where I've been to some strips of area, not to mention New York, West Philly, you know, Detroit. I mean, I've been to ghettos. I mean, I drive through Camden, New Jersey. It's like, oh my God. And so they're bad places. Baltimore has that reputation too when people come here, but I don't know, dude. I still, I still spend so much time here and living in a touristy kind of place that when I see people here, they're having a really good time. People love coming here. They really do. They do.
Yeah, it's been a really long time. I can't even remember the last time someone, you know, who came here and for the first time or whatever and didn't have only nice things to say on their way out. So we've managed to protect that piece of it. You know, we've been living through 18 months where that's not like the top priority for everyone. So
we've had all sorts of things here. Remember the boat sunk, you know, in the storm, right?
Yeah.
Wedding part. I mean, we've had sort of like crazy, you know, Freddie Gray. I mean, crazy things that beyond the wire and the reputation of that have, you know, sort of affected the city in that way. Harbor Place shutting down, you know, all of that.
But it's a branding opportunity, or maybe marketing is the better word. So yeah, good, bad, whatever, for whatever reason.
I hope the billionaire company, this when Caesars buys the Orioles from the Angelos family, literally, and they're going to invest in the city in that way that people do come. You know what I mean? I hope somebody feels that way about the baseball team in Camden. You know what I mean? And saying, oh, I see potential in that Sheraton and that Hyatt and that convention center and the water behind us. I see potential in Harbor Place as a park that would have a Central Park feel where we would condominiumize the Renaissance and the things around it. The tax base would go up. We'd have $1 million condos. It'd be like Hong Kong and Under Armour puts Nike out of bit. I mean, I could go dream up all of these scenario, right? But there are some anchor things like who's going to own the baseball team 80 nights a year, Harbor Place, and all of that keeps you. We're 20 minutes into this, and if you're the mayor, I'm like, it goes back to crime, right?
Well, but I don't know. I mean, that's the question for him is there's all this opportunity. Like, we believe this to be opportunity. So if you were a touristy based sort of town, I mean, it's not like we have a lot of Fortune 500 companies. We're not a banking city. We're not, like these other towns around the world. We're not a tech town. We're not Silicon Valley. We're not Austin. So you have the chance.
More reason for Biden to be at the port the other day, right? That's really what we are.
Our buddy Al down at Visit Baltimore, right? Like he, right before the pandemic, was trying to help like rebrand this bad boy and get us moving in the right direction. And we are a foodie town. We are a arts and music culture. I mean, we have all these different things. No one's telling a really good story, a concise, consistent.
No one?
Concise and consistent.
I'm not concise, but I am consistent.
Maybe. no, you're not consistent. I don't want you to be consistent. I want you to be inconsistent, right? Like one day we're talking about this, the next day we're talking about that. We got the leadership of the town needs to decide what he wants his legacy to be. And every time he gives a speech, he needs to talk towards it. And every time we work on something, he needs to explain how by doing this, it helps us get towards this goal. Remember,
you asked what mayor he is. He's the mask mayor now, right? To a lot of people, for better or worse, he's the guy that closed my business, told me I had to stay home, told Shorty to put his mask on, right? That's who he is right now.
Yeah, and I mean, he has to choose whether to actively change that or not. I mean, that stuff happens. The water taxi thing you mentioned, right? Like that happened on someone's watch. You have to deal with it and you have to try and come out the other side and then lean in to rewrite the story. Otherwise you're the water taxi guy or the mask guy or whatever. And now as we come out of this, he has to decide what kind of mayor he's going to be. What does he stand for? What does he want to happen? What is the change that's supposed that we should be able to feel, see, smell, right?
Whatever. And how can I participate? How can I be a part of it?
Assuming that you buy in.
Well, what's my role?
Well, I mean, maybe he decides.
Well, if my role is to be a prick and make it worse, I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know what his desired outcome is. So you have to interpret that. Like, I don't know. He's a young dude. He might say, we want Only single people in all of our town. All the married families need to leave. Like, if that was his goal, I'm not sure I support that mission. You know? But I would like to see that or understand it better, you know. I want to know how his relationship is with his new city administrator. I've got a chance to talk to that guy. I think that guy is really sharp. You're going to probably want me to tell you his name.
It's fine.
Chris something. At least, well, I don't remember his first name. He's came from Austin, right? We stole him away from Austin. And when I met him, I'm like, dude, you left Austin to come here? Like, please explain that to me.
Chris Shorter, by the way.
There you go. Shorter. Yep. So, and he's a great guy. Like, I enjoyed talking with him. I think he's got his head on his shoulders in a very pragmatic way. He said, look, Austin's in good shape. You know, Baltimore's a challenge. I said, yeah, well, okay. Good. I hope you have lots of energy and, you know.
That's part of like taking on the Detroit Lions, right? When they're 0-16, like my buddy Jimmy Schwartz did, right? Like, sure, and sure. Then you get them into the playoffs and you feel like you've done something. Bill Cole's our guest. We're doing coffee talk, as we say here. Tell me what you really do. You work on people's roofs and, try to make the city better, like for 102 years.
Yeah. Right now we're doing a lot of like searching for materials. It's pretty nasty. Did you see 60 Minutes? They did a piece on the supply chain problems.
Yes.
So that, I mean, holy cow, what a wonderful, like, somebody should show that.
Dude, the world was not ready for
high
plague.
School seniors.
But the world was not ready for a plague. You know, listen, Leonard Raskin always says this. We went through this last week. He joined us out at Nick's Grandstand Grill. We had a great conversation just about, and he always says, if the market goes away, we're all gone anyway. If the bomb drops, right, like none of this matters anyway. But while it's all in play, we've got to like sit down, talk about it, and try to fix it. You know,
well, and that's my frustration. So I understand our entire system was significantly more fragile than we realized, right? But but just in time,
just getting toilet paper in the beginning, yeah, right? People were
right. That's fine, but like I watched 60 Minutes interview each level of the process, and they're all pointing the and the guy even tells them all. Like, you do realize that everyone is pointing fingers at the other people. And I just, like, is this a Mayor Pete problem? Right? Like, he's the czar of transportation or whatever he is.
Infrastructure. That's different than transportation.
But it's not an infrastructure problem. It's a transportation problem. It's a boat, crane, truck, train, you know, rail, all that problem. And the truckers are pointing at the port people. The port people are pointing at the boat people. The boat people are pointing at the port people. Look.
And the Republicans are pointing at the Democrats, and the Democrats pointing at Republicans.
Yeah, I mean, who's going to fix the problem? Like the one guy who I'm not sure he isn't contributing to the problem, but I don't really understand the port business well enough. Like he rents space at the port and then people buy that space from him. He sounds like a middleman that maybe we don't need, but that's, like I said, I don't know enough about it. He said, this is a federal problem, right? There's like four major shipping ports in our country that bring, you know, the majority of the stuff in. And so where are the feds? They need to help us sort this out. The truckers can't get in because they need a special color container. Okay, that sounds like a solvable problem. There's no room at the port. Again, solvable problem. The chassis are all tied up, sitting on empty containers. Solvable problem. Like, the boats are sitting there, but it's not that they don't have anybody to unload them. They don't have anywhere to put the stuff, right? So the stuff can't get out. Like, somebody needs to sit down and incrementally unpack it. Like, you can't flip a switch, right? Like, you can't send the cavalry in and have 100 trains and 10,000 trucks, like, loosen up all the space constraints. But you need to incrementally unpack it. And to me, after that episode or whatever, I just felt like everyone's kind of like, oh, you know, it's a pandemic. Well, oh, well, well, it'll get better someday. Meanwhile, the roofing industry, right? However many, I think it's like 700,000-800,000 people. And you're,
those boats out in the harbor in Long Beach, they represent like your ability to feed your family, literally.
Exactly. And these are, you know, middle, lower middle, low, lower, unskilled labor, skilled labor. I mean, they represent a huge share of the population. And like, I don't know, there's just no movement. And it's been going that way since April, May. Wildly frustrating. We probably don't need to waste everyone's brain cells on it, but like, we're writing letters, we're doing these calls, blah, 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 we're doing all this
crap. And you've never seen anything like it, like in your lifetime.
No, and I've been through shortages too. I've been through product shortages. And yeah, one item. You know, it's not one item, it's lots of items. And yeah, okay, we used to get the stuff in 2 weeks. Now my lead time on a new order is 13 months. You know, and we prepared, like we were good for a while because, okay, if you take a 2 week lead time and you extend it to 6 months, once I get to the end of that 6 months, the business is in a cycle, right? So everything we start booking for the 6 months while we have problems with no product.
You've got a hat, a head, a job, a day, a plan, a strategy, a schedule. Right,
all those people are now looking at 6 months.
And promises made to the client as well, right? We're going to get the roof done on your school, Johnny-O, over Colgate so we can open it, right? Literally.
Right. The problem is it started as 6 months, then it went to 8 months, then it went to 10 months.
Well, we're 2 years into this plague now, right? Literally.
13 months.
Yeah. You know, dude, hang in there. Hang in there. I hear your advice. I hear the pain of you saying, if you want roofing work done, call now because we can't get it done in time for Christmas unless it's a repair.
Well, right. I mean, that's the only solution for people is, and you know, look, we usually take a very pragmatic approach to this anyway, right? Like if I can do $5,000 worth of work to buy you 5 more years on your roof, we will always recommend that, right? Like we've been around 100 years. We are clearly playing a long game. So we're always in that mode anyway. There's just additional drivers now where even people who are prepared because they have the cash and they want to do the roof, we're saying to them, yeah, except
I don't have shingles.
Can't get any of the stuff.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know.
Dude, hang in there. At least we have crab cakes for now. We had that problem earlier in the year. We don't have that problem right now. Come out a crab cake with me, man. I mean, it's my 30th anniversary. You gonna do? We got to do one
I'm
of these days, bro.
I'm working on it.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm working on some dates. We're putting some dates together on the east side of town with our friends at Casas. I'll have all the dates out. Black Friday in Abingdon will be at Conrad's. The 3rd of December, we will be at Pappas in Cockeysville. And then the 9th on a Thursday, we'll be with Don Moeller, beginning the celebration over at Catonsville at the Beaumont. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. My dear friend, Bill Cole from Cole Roofing and Gordy Energy. Tell everybody what you do.
Commercial roofing, when the products are available. In the meantime, we'll repair your roofs.
We also play pianos when there are pianos to play.
Right. We also install solar when there's solar panels available. And they're all stuck in the port as well. So we're pretty much standing around making lots of plans to do lots of amazing stuff in 2022 and 2023. But it's definitely a struggle right now, man.
Dude, I got a funny story for you. I'll leave you with this because I'm going to Chicago this week. And, you know, I worked there for 4 years at the turn of the century. And I've had old friends reach out this week, go to the audio vault, listen to it. Randy Merkin and, Rick Tellender is one of the greatest guys ever. Just great old friends from Chicago on. We did a trip. Joe Enoch was on this trip, so he will verify this. Before I was married, it was the turn of the century. It was when I was still syndicated and going to Chicago a lot and knew my way around. We played a game in Green Bay. I want to say it was the year of 9/11, so it was like 01. but it was after 9/11. And on this trip, we had two buses, and we were going from Midway Airport in Chicago up to Green Bay. So the promise was we were going to stop at Wrigley Field. You could take a picture. It was November or whatever. It was winter time. We stopped in Kenosha and, you know, on the way up. And we stopped at Miller Park, and we got lunch. There was like a Fridays in Miller Park, so you could take the slide, Bernie Brewer, and you know, in the baseball stadium. So we do this trip, and when we land, the driver, I said, we're going to Wrigley Field, but we're going to go through downtown, show you the Miracle Mile, Michigan Avenue. But most people have never been to Chicago. A lot of these people have never been on a plane, right? So, you know, you land at Midway. I'm trying to give everybody a good time, a good experience. And it's foggy as hell, right? It's November or October, you look whatever it was. And it was really like, it was really foggy. The guy drives us down to the lake, and he had these, you know, Coke bottle bottom glasses, the drives, old driver, Midwestern dude. He drives us down and pulls up, and he points out, he says, now, if the fog weren't here, you'd be able to see the city pier, Navy pier, excuse me.
right.
So this gets worse, because it's just like that. If not for this, he took the top of the bus when we were leaving Miller Park. You know how they have, like, where Hammer Jacks is in our stadium, where if you drive under, there's a certain level. Dude took the top of the bus off. It was like, and then backed up. He went forward and went like the worst metal sound, like a plane crashing. And we're in the bus, and I'm like, no. Oh, we'll back up. Backed on, dude. It was great. Man, our trips, man, I can't recommend them enough. We're leaving tomorrow for Chicago. Come with us.
Right.
Bill Cole's here. He is Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy, and I'm out of my mind. We're having fun around here when we're not talking about crime in the city and bad things and football. Luke is in at training camp. It's all brought to you by our friends at Royal Farms, real fresh, real fast. I got my Chicken Palooza shirt on. By the way, I got the entire Schuler family from Blondell Miller Schuler Chicken Palooza shirt. So Merry Christmas to everybody there. I did offer some Pizza John's pizza as well. Hope to stop by for that. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.